How low can it go? Oil prices plunged to a 12-year low over Russia's New Year's and Orthodox Christmas holiday season. And as the country returns to work this week, a plunging ruble and sinking economy are front and center. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news. My name is Brian Whitmore, author of the Power Vertical blog here at RFRL. Joining me is senior editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
So, a headline in Reuters captured the moment perfectly, I thought. How the oil collapse stole Russia's Christmas. We've been here before, though, Steve. I mean, in fact, we were here at the start of last year when the oil was plunging, the ruble was falling. But Vladimir Putin's regime always manages to muddle through. Is there any reason to think this time is different? Are we approaching a tipping point?
I think, it's hard to say if there's a tipping point, if we've reached a tipping point, but... Certainly, the main problem for Putin is that, as I think Mark Galliotti said in a recent article, there's no strategy beyond waiting for world oil prices to recover.
And they're not going to recover anytime soon, according to most analysts.
Right. And so, I mean, we're talking about that same Reuters story was talking about how, okay, if prices stay at 30 or even, you know, go down to 20, this is going to have a serious consequences for the economy. Putin's going to have to go somewhere, you know, to get more money, raising taxes or cutting spending, which would lead to, you know, further economic longer recession. Mm-hmm. I mean, as it stands, Russia is predicting that the economy will actually grow a little bit this year and more next year. But with these oil prices continuing, you know, that's highly unlikely.
So. And those projections were based on $50 a barrel oil.
Right, exactly.
Oil's at 32 this morning. I checked it right before I went into the studios.
Yeah, so you have to wonder what's in their minds in the Kremlin now. And another thing, I mean, for Russians themselves, I mean, there's sort of a perfect storm, but there are a lot of things happening. I mean, the economy is worsening. There's little sign of any improvement. Things could get worse if depending on oil prices. You have vacations getting more expensive, fewer places to go, and you know, so at home, I think, you know, you do see some kind of labor unrest happening. Mm-hmm. With the truckers and teachers, other
doctors.
Doctors. So, you know, that's something that there wasn't much of for a long time. Now there's more of it. And then on the world stage also, this has got to be crimping Putin because this is all coming at a time when he's sort of making a big push to bring Russia back. And, he's fighting in Syria. So, you know, how long can that be sustained?
Well, yeah, I'd like to end up breaking these two things out. I mean, the effect on domestic politics. Just before the Christmas and New Year's break, there were rumors that Alexei Kudrin was going to come back. They looked a little bit more credible this time around. Do you think that's more likely now, given the dire state of the economy?
Well, I think, I mean, probably Putin is still waiting. But, I mean, there is a point where, you know, does there come a point where he has to say, okay, I am now going to actually do some reforms of the economy, you know, attack corruption? Because these are things that, you know, he talks about a lot, but it's not happening. And I think, I mean, if Kudrin, I suppose the chance of Kudrin returning is bigger because at least it would be a sign that Putin is tackling that, whether it would actually lead to big changes or not. But, I mean, you know, there comes a point where he has to sort of do something.
Yeah, and I look at the Kudrin return. I mean, it depends what it means. If Kudrin comes back and he's going to really pursue the reforms that Kudrin's been saying are necessary, I think that's highly unlikely, first of all, because that would undermine the system, basically. This whole system is based on a kleptocracy, essentially. And if Kudrin were to come in and try to clean that up, I don't see that happening. If Kudrin comes in just as a symbolic thing that's going to cheer investors, I don't see that doing much for the economy. So.
Right. But I think Putin may believe that he has 2 years to go about until the next presidential election. You know, he's probably saving some kind of big at least seeming change or you know, an attempt to say we're tackling the economy, we're tackling corruption. He's probably, you know, waiting to spring something on something closer to the election.
Closer so to the election, can, yeah.
But, you know, as you say, whether it will have a real effect or just, you know, be kind of a... Because it's hard to really imagine him after all these years, you know, really taking kind of dealing with the kleptocracy.
Well, and this year is shaping up to be crucial because we got Duma elections coming up in December. Now, the elections themselves are theater, but they're also important in terms of as a political event, and they can spark things like in 2011 the mass protests.
Right, they can spark things, and they can show you know, even if there's really very little pluralism, they can show the discontent of people.
Right. And then most predictions are that the reserves will run out, the currency reserves will run out by the end of this year, right?
Right, or around next the time year, certainly before. So, you know, there's a chance that Putin could say, okay, well, they're going to run out next year, and then he may try to wing it.
Yeah, no, he's, like I've always said, he's more of a tactician than a strategist. The other thing is the effect, as you mentioned, on foreign affairs. I mean, you have to wonder if this is going to cause Putin to dampen down his ambitions. I don't see how it cannot.
Right, exactly. And to dampen down his ambitions and to, you know, to try to achieve some rapprochement with the West, because, I mean, you do have the sanctions. And I think there is a sense, I mean, he's had a strong ride, at least in his mind, with this anti-Western business. But I mean, does there come a point where Russians are getting tired of this and see, you know, look, we can't go to Turkey anymore. We can't do this. So I think we may see some attempts in that direction.
I mean, the Kremlin clearly is trying to make nice with the West, but it's on their terms. I mean, they're not going to. Does that mean they're going to give Crimea back to Ukraine?
Well, right, of course.
That's not going to happen.
Right,
and that's kind of a red line, right? I mean, for the West as well. I think. I mean, I'm curious. One of the things I'll be watching this year is if there is a rapprochement, the degree to which the West is going to be willing to forget about Crimea. There's plenty who won't want to do that.
Right. Yeah, but obviously that is a point where Putin will not be giving in. So, you know.
Well, so we're set up for an interesting week and an interesting year, and when that's all we have time for today. So on that note, we'll wrap it up. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me has been senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the ambient sounds of Noise MC.